Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down. The kick clears the line. Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Yes! Yes! Let's go! Yeah!
It's over. LA will play for the Lombardi.
Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast LA Network.
LA Rams.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play. And we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams, Tuesday edition, and boy, does it feel just as good as Victory Monday. I am still hyped up. I literally just watched the finish of the game again. It was on NFL Network. If you guys are following me, I tweeted it out from the Locked On Rams account. That game and the Chiefs game, I probably could watch about 10 times over back to back to back to back. And man, it was stressful even though I knew the outcome, seeing the Rams get down early and just kind of look deflated and defeated. But knowing the triumphant return that they would have, offense, defense, special teams, it kind of brought me down to ease. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Obviously, that game and how amazing that was. Some of the things that have happened today kind of coming out about that game. We're going to hit some pro football focus stats. We're going to hear from you, the listeners. I got questions on deck from Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So I want to give a shout out to everybody across the board for pitching in. I got tons of content. And I got to remember, we got 2 weeks, so I'm going to try to stuff as much into this show as I can. But don't forget, we've got a bunch of content coming your way. I'm going to try to do a crossover with Mark Schofield, and that is the Locked On Patriots host. He is actually going down to the Senior Bowl, I believe, so his schedule's a little tight. Maybe I'll throw it in with Vinny's conversation, or maybe I'll just kind of throw it in along the week. But we kind of want to double down on that crossover. Of course, we got Vinny Bonsignor and Serena Morales later this week, so tons of great content, reaction from people who were there. I'm also going to try something new here, something that came in via Facebook. Dave Robles, thank you so much. Not only is he giving away season tickets to the Rams next year, but he kind of pitched in with an idea. And he said his guilty pleasure is going to the other Locked On host, the team that lost, and hearing their reaction on a Victory Monday. Kind of a lot of sad, depressing thoughts, I would assume. But I loved it. Kind of the, what is the opposing team feel like on a day that we are so happy and amazed and all those great things. So I'm going to try to pull a clip from Ross Jackson's Locked On Saints Monday, where he kind of breaks it down. Obviously, we know they kind of get stuck up on that call, but I'm going to pull a clip. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. And then, of course, just sprinkled in with the expertise of myself throughout the podcast. At least that's what I tell myself. All right, so let's kick it off. Let's get some pro football focused stuff right out the gate. Let's hit some stats. Let's revisit this game. Let's think back to why we won this game. Not only a non-pass interference call, which we will get to throughout the week and more. Starting out on the offense side of the ball, Jared Goff was the Rams' second highest graded player on the offense with his 73.8 overall grade. His 62% completion percentage doesn't really tell the whole story, as his adjusted completion percentage, again, that takes away drops, batted passes, throwaways, and then basically passes where the quarterback's throwing it away. After that, it was 85.7. Jared Goff held a 100% adjusted completion percentage on the 26 attempts he had when not blitzed, and an 88.9% on these 11 passes under pressure. The guy stepped up when he had to. Again, no numbers were blowing open the doors and making you say, give this guy the MVP. But he was huge when we needed it. Talking about rewatching this game, I watched how the Saints came out in the third quarter. Obviously, went three and out, kicked the ball away. They came right down, scored a touchdown on a long touchdown drive. And what did we do right when we got the ball back? We matched that. Equally, 75 yards, down the field, touchdown drive, navigated by Jared Goff, who was 5 for 5 on that drive, hit Tyler Higbee in the end zone for a touchdown pass, and really seemed to kind of gather his composure. It was a huge drive for the Rams and really probably one of the drives of the game. I mean, we go down 10 in the third quarter, and the drive that the Saints used to do that took up almost half the quarter. So us to come back, match that drive, and put up points right away, it also gave our defense a great chance to rest, kind of gather themselves, and then the field position battle. Obviously, we come in with a kickoff. They start back on the 20-25-yard line, and our defense has a lot to play with. So it was a huge drive in this game to go back and match those points, because if we don't score on that drive, maybe the Saints start to pick up some momentum, and this thing gets out of hand in the second half really quick. But no, Jared Goff, again, nothing flashy, nothing over the top, but he did have the one touchdown. He did really pick it up in the second half, and looking at this completion percentage or adjusted completion percentage, he did really, really good when no one was blitzing him, and he held his own when he was under pressure. 88.9 under pressure, 100% with no pressure. Great game from Jared Goff, and we needed it. Also on the offensive side of the ball, Andrew Whitworth continuing his streaks without a single quarterback pressure, this time in the NFC Championship game. That streak now goes to 4 games, hopefully 5 for the Super Bowl. Would be a nice way to finish the season. His 44 pass blocking snaps on Sunday were the most he's played without allowing a quarterback pressure all season. His 81.5 grade was the Rams' highest offensive grade, while his 90.4 pass blocking grade was the highest of all season. So big time players stepping up in big time moments and really delivering. Andrew Whitworth is that veteran leader on the front of the line. He's had a great season. He had a great season last year. And really that, you know, almost like week 12 through week 14, 15, he really struggled. But then being able to go week 16 and week 17, put together really good games back to back, come into the playoffs and have 2 more games back to back, really good. He's playing at a different level right now. He's playing as that captain leader that we need him to be. And again, you see the numbers, how they correlate. He's got a really good game. And you go on the other side, Jared Goff has a really good game. When he's not being pressured, he can deliver the football, hang in there, and make some plays. So those two going back to back, having the number 1 and number 2 highest rating grades coming out with Pro Football Focus. It's what we need moving forward, and hopefully we'll see more of that in Atlanta. What we're going to do, guys, we're going to step aside. We're going to take our first break. Dave Robles is going to talk to us about how you can win 2019 season tickets to the Rams. Pay attention. Selling or buying a home, you need to hit my man up. Then we're going to be back. We're going to continue the Pro Football Focus. We're going to hit the defense. We're going to take questions from our listeners. We're going to hit up Ross Jackson and hear what he thought about the game. All that and more. Tuesday edition, Lockdown Rams, right after this. And we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming, and parties don't stop till 8 in the morning. Welcome to Atlanta where the players play. And we ride. Listen up, Rams Nation. Before we get over to the next segment, we gotta talk about the man, the myth, the Robles. Dave Robles. He's given you a chance to win season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. How you do that? You give him a call. If you're buying or selling a home right now, he is the guy you got to be talking to. He's been a top producing realtor in LA for over 20 years. Dave is a Los Angeles native, so he knows the city in and out. He's a super strong negotiator who understands how to get you an awesome deal on a home or top dollar for your current home if you're selling. I talked to him on the phone not too long ago, and he was telling me about how he got an extra $50,000 to his client's pocket when they took over the property. Spiced it up a little bit, took some pictures, put it on social media, used the strong team behind him to help sell this house and make an extra $50,000 for his client. That can be you. Check out his excellent reviews on Yelp and Zillow. He's a super awesome guy. I promise you, he's going to take care of you. Check out his website, daverobles.com. That's daverobles.com. Or just give him a call, 213-712-4343. Tell him Bear Motter sent you. Mention Lockdown Rams, and I'm telling you right now, he's going to get you season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. And if you're moving out of town, he helps you sell your house. He'll give you equal value and take care of you as well. Dave Robles gets the Bear stamp of approval. And don't forget, check out daverobles.com or call him at 213-712-4343. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Tuesday edition, Lockdown Rams, holding it down. Your host, Bear Motter, 5 days a week, Locked On Rams, your team, every day, only on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, don't forget, you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts. Ask your home speaker, play podcast, Locked On Rams. They got you, making it that much easier to find your favorite podcast. Share the podcast with your friends. Let's grow this. I want to welcome in all of my new listeners. All of my old listeners already know what's up. They know the deal. We have our hover helmet that went out to Hunter Lynch. So thank you so much for participating, everybody. I'm staring at a Rams playoff towel right now. I've just got to figure out how to do the contest. I'll probably start that sometime this week and play it through till next week with the Super Bowl, do another giveaway. I'm hoping, I haven't seen the Rams hat go on sale yet. I'm going to try to get one of those Rams NFC Championship hats, put that in there as far as the competition as well. I want to hook you guys up. And this is so lit. I've got the police and the sirens behind me going off. You guys can hear that. So thanks for the background noise, boys. It better be important. Just another bonus of recording in Los Angeles, people. A lot of you guys live out in the country, and you know, you go to bed and you put on the sounds of the waterfall. No, that doesn't exist here. You just keep your windows cracked and you get sirens throughout the night, and that's what gets you through the night. But speaking of getting me through the night, what got me through the night was, one, I got to watch this game again. When I saw that being aired, I was so excited. Watched the game again and saw multiple big plays all across the field. And on defense, Pro Football Focus kind of highlighted a couple of them. So starting with a guy that we acquired during the trade deadline, and that's Dante Fowler. He ended up racking in his highest grade since joining the Rams. With a 79.5, he generated 4 quarterback pressures on 42 pass rushing snaps for a 12.2 pass rush productivity and recorded a defensive stop, which again is described as a tackle at or around the line of scrimmage. No pressure was bigger than the hit that he caused on Drew Brees that caused that pass to float up in the air. And obviously John Johnson III grabbed it on the back, but that play really was the staple in the game for him. The pressure that he is able to cause coming off the edge has really helped guys like Sue and Donald. Again, we talked about those two guys up front being really tough to block. And even watching the game again and kind of breaking down the film a little bit, they had a tight end going up against Sue a few times, which is almost an insult to him, especially coming off of one of the better games that he's had. But Fowler, the addition of him to kind of add that speed to the mix, and it doesn't really go over it in these week's numbers with Pro Football Focus, but Dante Fowler has been a big addition in the run stuffing. Obviously, we brought him over to be a pass rusher, get back there and cause havoc with the quarterback, but he's been able to do it coming off the edge and stopping the run. So that's really helped us out as we've really improved that defense on the ground. So Dante Fowler, great job, Pro Football Focus. And then our man, the myth, the legend, Mr. No Call himself, Nickell Roby Coleman. He was targeted early and often in the NFC Championship game by the Saints. He had 7 targets thrown into his coverage, which was the second most he's faced all season. NRC allowed only one of those targets to be caught for 9 yards while breaking up 2 others and allow a passer rating of only 39.6 into coverage. 3 of those targets came while lining up against Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas, who had an 87.9 reception percentage coming into the game when lining up in the slot. Not so much, my friend. NRC had himself an amazing game, including that no call, which I love. And you know what I also love about NRC is he took to Facebook today, and I got to give a big ups and a shout out to Richie Starks for sharing this video. But Nickell Roby Coleman took to Facebook, and you know what? Here's what he had to say. I'll just play the clip.
All right, we're going to get straight to the point. The call about last night. Obviously, I smacked his ass. You feel me? Put that boy on a motherfucking Waffle House frying pan.
He said, Waffle House frying pan. Hit it with a Waffle House frying pan. Give me that all-star platter, son. Now, I know some people may not like this and think, oh, he's being cocky and he needs to just shut up and keep playing. He got beat on the ball. Yeah, all those things are true. But the play is over. And you know what? The Saints are making a big fuss about this, and I don't blame them. You know, I would understand, you know, where they're coming from. They had a fans petition that went out that has over 400,000 signatures so far that is basically asking for the game to be replayed. Yeah, good luck with that one. On top of that, their owner came out with a statement, Gail Benson, basically saying how disappointed she was that her fans, her team, and the organization, the city, was kind of robbed of a fair competition and that they lost due to some unforeseen circumstances, basically calling out the play without calling out the play, but we all knew what she was talking about. Everyone knows what we're talking about. The thing is, there was no flag. If you want to go back and review every stinking play, obviously everyone on social media has seen a lot of the plays that have circulated of Jared Goff getting a face mask, which would have gotten us first down inside the 10. We saw Brandon Cooks get a face mask on the big catch that he had. Obviously, we scored on that anyway. We saw a Saints player come in basically sumo drop on top of Reynolds after the play. We also saw another guy when he stepped over Jared Goff, when Jared Goff gave himself up, kind of kicked back and kind of cleated him in the arms. There's a lot of things. If we're going to go review every single play, it's going to take away from the game. Yes, they did miss that call. NRC even said, I tried to hit him. I get that. But it wasn't called. Got to move on. I understand the frustration coming from the Saints fan. In fact, before we get on to the next segment, I promised you a little segment. And this one comes from Dave Robles. I got to give you a shout out. I like this idea. Let me know what you guys think. We're kind of late in the season to keep it going. Hopefully we got one more to give after this. But we're going to give you a taste of Rox Jackson, the other side of a Victory Monday. What were his thoughts on his Monday episode? Just a little snippet to give you a feel. We'll break it down a little bit on the other side. We'll talk a few other things. And we'll get to some listener questions. Guys, I got a bunch. It's probably going to roll over in tomorrow's show as well. So if you didn't get your question on, either ask another one or hold on tight. I will make sure to get your question answered. Here's Rox Jackson's thoughts after the loss.
This is just one of those things to where, you know, you can look at earlier in the game. Absolutely. You can look at earlier in the game and you can say, well, you know, Dan Arnold dropped the touchdown. That's a 4-point swing. You can say that, you know, oh, the Saints defense had, you know, the final drive in regulation to make a stop and they didn't do it. Sure. Yes, you can say that. The Saints did give up a 39-yard catch or a 32-yard catch on 3rd and 3. They played the coverage really well, but you know, once the play broke down, then it's tough to keep receivers covered for that long, things like that. You can say that Drew Brees and the Saints won the toss at the beginning of overtime and all they needed to do was drive down the field and score a touchdown, which isn't as easy as I just made it sound because it's playoff football. But you know, the Drew Brees gets hit while throwing the ball, and then it ends up getting intercepted by Joe Johnson. A lot of people feel like that should have been pass interference, and you can make that argument. The refs thought that the ball was tipped, but it wasn't. So there were two circumstances. There were actually three circumstances throughout this game in which, if pass interference non-calls were reviewable, that they could have been overturned. There was a holding earlier on Ted Ginn Jr. So you could say all of that, but this is the one call. This is the one call that I can think of, with the exception of the Dez Bryant catch, that if you make this call, it changes the course of the game. If you don't make this call, which is exactly what happened, it changes the outcome of the game. This was the one call that I can think of that, you know, yeah, sure. Like I said, the defense had an opportunity to make a stop. Drew Brees had the ball at the beginning of overtime, but none of those possessions would have happened. None of those possessions needed to happen if this call, which was the right call, was made. And I don't usually feel comfortable saying that, you know, a call was right or a call was wrong and blaming something on the officiating and stuff like that. But, you know, and I feel comfortable saying that this was absolute BS for the Saints and that they should have gotten this call, because you can see it from everywhere. This isn't me being biased. This isn't you, because I know you as a listener feel the same way. If you're here with Locked On Saints, you're a true fan of the New Orleans Saints. So I know that you feel the same way. And so this is just a really upsetting way for this season to come to an end. But we saw what the Saints did with tragedy last year with the Minnesota Miracle and the way that they came back. I think that the future holds well for the Saints for 2019. You, I, we all have a lot of reasons to be excited.
Oh, Ross, I feel your pain, my man. I feel your pain. I agree with a lot of things he said. Obviously, that call did have a specific outcome to the game. It wasn't made. Not my job, not your job, not his job, not our jobs as fans. It wasn't called, so we move on. Unfortunate, very much unfortunate for them. I do disagree with him on the John Johnson interception that he talks about. I do not think that was pass interference. The ball goes up in there, whether it's tipped or not. You heard from Dean Blandino, who's one of the former officiating guys, and said when a ball goes up like that, it's fair game. You almost saw Michael Thomas make
contact with him trying to get repositioned for the ball. So I think that's a good no call. That's definitely an interception. There was no really question about that moving forward. So I think that's one where start to reach a little bit when you get a little upset. But for those Saints fans, Ross is right, man. They went through this frustration the year before with that Minnesota miracle. And now here they got to deal with the biggest no call they've ever seen, this time at home in the Dome. So tough loss for them, but I love it trying to get a little perspective. This is the Locked On Podcast Network. We have got a host for every team in the NFL. Guys, don't forget to check out Locked On NFL as a whole. It's a great show that is put together by Matt Williamson. We'll have him on hopefully at some point this week. I go on his show, especially during the playoffs, a lot more. So check that out. I was on Monday's episode. Feel free to go listen to that as well. But what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break. Get a couple words from some sponsors. We're going to be back. We're going to close this thing out. I promise I'm going to get to some questions, and we'll finish this thing up. Tuesday edition, Locked On Rams, right after this. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play, and we ride on them things like every day. Beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming, and parties don't stop till 8 in the morning. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Tuesday edition, Locked On Rams, Bear Motter throwing it down. We've gone over Pro Football Focus, offense, defense. We heard from Nickell Roby-Coleman. We've heard from Ross Jackson. Now it is time to hear from you, the listener. I'm going to just shout out a few people. I'm going to grab some questions. Guys, don't worry if you don't hear a question today. I've got a full week to kind of bring this out. Maybe I'll pitch it to one of our guests. Maybe I'll save it for next week. Keep the questions coming. I love it. It always kind of picks my brain, gives me some topics to talk about, and also just kind of debate with myself here live on air. We got a couple guests coming up, and we can kind of pitch some questions there. So the first one comes from Patrick Anderson, and he says, do you see the Super Bowl as a possible passing of the torch from one dynasty to another with a young QB and genius coach? And he goes on to add, and obviously we've got a ton of other talent. So, Patrick, great question, and I'm sure this is going to be something that is kind of built up into this game. You're looking at a third-year quarterback, second-year coach, going against Tom Brady, who has got all the numbers in the book. I mean, the guy's been around forever. And I saw something today on NFL Network that kind of blew my mind, and this kind of goes into the experience of Tom Brady. The Rams, as far as a roster, have played in the Super Bowl game 5 times, and that's 4 players that had 5 games. Cooks, Tlaib, Shields, and CJ Anderson. That's compared to the 82 games of experience from 32 players in the New England Patriots, and that is 9 times alone from Tom Brady. That is insane. That is insane. He is chasing his 6th ring. So yes, that dynasty has to end at a certain point. The man is like 42 years old or something like that. He is going to fall off at some point. The wheels got to fall off, right? No better time than Jared Goff, this young gunning offense. Even though we haven't seen some of that down the field action as we've seen earlier in the season, we got Cooks involved a little bit, but Cooks is going up against his old team in New England Patriots. So yes, I would love to see this as far as the passing of the torch. Tom Brady, I don't think he's quite done yet. Maybe 1 or 2 years left. So is the dynasty over? I would love to say that the Rams were right there at the beginning. We talked about it 17 years to the day. The Rams shall get their redemption. That was the beginning of the Tom Brady era. So maybe this is the end of it. I love it. I'm sure we'll hear that narrative throughout the week. Old man versus young man. As Tom Brady and Jared Goff represent the largest age gap between opposing starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl history, age difference is 17 years and 72 days. So yeah, I think there's a storyline there. And hopefully for the Rams' sake, this is the passing of the torch. Patrick, great question. Thank you so much. This question kind of just barrels right into the next one. Rich Jenkins, he said, I wonder if these players know the history of this franchise and how we hate the Patriots and why. Also, what do you think our X factors to win the game are? You know what? With McVay, he's got 2 weeks. I can definitely see him filling in some of the younger players if they don't know the history. Obviously, those veterans, I think, are very much well aware of this, even if they weren't on the team or even in the NFL at that point. These guys have been with the organization for a while, so they've known these ups and downs, a lot of them going through the downs a lot more. But I'm assuming some of the veterans know this. But I would expect Sean McVay to take advantage of this time, kind of talk about the history, talk about how big this game is, talk about some of the greats in the past of the Rams that were able to get it done and perform in a big-time game. As far as X factors to win the game, I know it's silly, But turnovers. I think we're going to have to create turnovers. We were able to create one versus the Saints. We gave up one as well. Our defense has thrived off of making the big play, whether that's Aaron Donald coming through the line with a strip sack, John Johnson, Peters, Tlaib making an interception, our linebacking core making an interception, somebody making a big play. I think it's going to take a game-changing type of play. And then the ground game. Got to get back to it. Got to get Todd Gurley back involved in the game. You look at the New England Patriots and what they did on the ground defending the run last week. They only gave up 41 yards themselves. So this is going to be a match of who can get the ground game going. And then flip it. You look at the Patriots. They rushed for over 175 yards on the ground with three backs, Sony Michel, Rex Burkhart, and James White. So I think that ground game is going to be the X factor, and then creating turnovers. So as much as we want to see these big-time quarterbacks throw the ball down the field, and I'm sure they're going to try to, right? They're going to try to stretch the ball and work in the play action for Jared Goff. But it's going to be one on the ground, and it's going to be one in the turnover battle. So, Rich, thank you so much for the question. Richie Starks, my man, he says, Super Bowl ticket giveaway, ? Oh, my man, if I could give a Super Bowl giveaway, if I could find a sponsor to give away some Super Bowl tickets, one, I'd probably try to rig it so I'd win. Two, and oh my gosh, would I ever love to be able to send one of you guys to the Super Bowl. Rich Jenkins, we just mentioned, kind of chimed in and said, man, tickets are going nothing less than $3,300, and I think that would be a good deal right now. I think the cheapest that I saw was about $4,000 out there, and that is the very, 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 very top of the row. So good luck for whoever is trying to get out there. Actually, I had someone reach out to us on Instagram, Jaron Kenji, and he said he is going to be going to the game. He booked his tickets right after that field goal. I am super jealous. My man's down from Hawaii, the Aloha State. So shoots, brother. Enjoy the game. One of my best friends lives in Hawaii. So if you're listening, Hawaii shout out. If you guys are down there, check out Farm to Barn Cafe. It is out in the North Shore area, I believe, if I'm correct. But my boy Mike runs the joint out there. They've got amazing food. So if you're in Hawaii, Farm to Barn Cafe. I'm shouting out everything right about now. So guys, thanks so much for shooting that out, Richie. I'll do my best with the Super Bowl giveaway. But right now, it is a Rams playoff towel. A little bit of a downgrade, but still really, really cool. Has some sentimental value to you guys out there. I'm going to create that contest later this week. Bill Overball asks, who's got Gronk coverage duties? I would guess Littleton, but that's a tough matchup for anybody. Bill, I can't wait to kind of dig in deeper with this. I'm going to ask Vinny this one as well, because I can see a mix of trying to work him in with some zone coverage that we've done with the defense lately, trying to catch matchups. Yes, Littleton. I wouldn't be surprised to see John Johnson kind of slide down in and kind of help with coverage. We saw Joyner work with Tlaib on Michael Thomas in the slot position at times. They were kind of doubling him there and make him pick a route to go. But Gronk is a different beast. We saw that matchup against Kansas City late in the game. They really started going Gronk. Gronk's had kind of a down year, I would say, as far as stats go. I know a lot of people that had him on fantasy football weren't too excited. But playoff time, this is when Tom Brady goes to the guys he trusts a lot, really starts to work matchups and kind of saying, can you guard that guy? Okay, until you've changed it, I'm going to go. We saw that a lot in that Kansas City game. So we'll talk more about this throughout the week. But man, Gronk is going to be a big matchup concern for the Rams. How do you deal with him? But also keep an eye on Edelman, who they can, you know, bring underneath that coverage. And he's kind of their sly little Cooper Kupp, shall you say, just getting open at all times. So those two combos are going to be really tough to match up against. And we're going to talk about that more this week. All those questions were coming from our Facebook group, so shout out Facebook group. Love you guys. Keep interacting with us. I got a couple other questions I'm going to hold on to from there, and then I'm going to work my way over to Twitter and give some shout outs over here and grab some questions here. This question comes from Super Bowl Nudge, and that is at Josh Nudge, N-U-G-E Barlow. And he said, how pleased are you that Sue has stepped up his game in the playoffs? In the regular season, you could say he underperformed, and now he's playing like the Detroit Sue we all remember. Love the show. Go Rams. So thanks, my man. I appreciate the question. And you're right. What a time to kick it into the gear for Ndamukong Suh. And really, as I start to look what we're going to do moving forward in the offseason, this kind of freaks me out a little bit because Sue's really turned it up. I wouldn't say that he would be a guy, if you ask me about the first 17 weeks of the season, is he a guy you want to go sign to a 3-4 year deal, you know, averaging $10 to $12 million a year and spend a big chunk of money on a guy adding to the line that I don't think really performed is deserving of that contract. So I am really pleased where he's at because we are paying him this year and we did have expectations of that Detroit Sioux. Obviously, that was years ago when he was kind of tearing up the league in the NFC North. It's not for the lack of effort or trying. You always see this guy in the weight room. He's always one of the first people when I wake up and I check some of the players. Social media, he's posting at like 6 a.m. He's in the gym and already got 2 workouts in. So this guy is a hard worker. He seems motivated. Getting to this point, though, I kind of think has really excited him and brought his level of play up. The thing is, can you get that out of him for 17 weeks leading up to it? I'm not saying he's been a bum all year long, but he hasn't been, oh my gosh, we've got Sue and Donald right next to each other like we were coming into the season. That expectation of what we were going to see really never came to fruition until now. Great timing, and I appreciate it. My question is really what's going to happen in the offseason? Who's going to pay him a bunch of big bucks, and will the Rams offer? I don't think they will, but he's here now, and I couldn't be more excited about the way he's playing. Perfect time to step it up. I hope he's got one more in him to go get that ring. So at Josh Nudge Barlow, thanks for the question. Big ups. Again, I got a bunch of other questions. I'm going to do one more. We're going to call it a show. I think I'm past that magical mark of about 30 minutes, so we'll wrap this thing up. This one comes from at Rams Wrath, a.k.a. Jason Reich. Sorry if I got that last name wrong. You already know I'm going to butcher some names. It's kind of what I do. He asks, have you heard and thought about setting up a Rams fan tailgating event before the game? Just a good place where we can all meet up would be awesome. Jason, man, I wish I could set that up. I wish I could go down there. I actually have family down in the Atlanta area. I am still trying to finagle my way down into the Super Bowl. If I go down to Atlanta, I will definitely hit you guys up. If you will be in Atlanta, hit me up. I want to see pictures. I want to see what's going on. I want to get some voice down on the street. And if I happen to make it down there, I will definitely hit you guys up and we'll hang out, we'll watch the game. Get a little Who's House, Rams House going on. You know the drill. I've got about 10 more questions to get to, so I'm going to hang on to some of these throughout the week. Continue to send me questions at LA underscore Rambling Bear on Twitter, at Lockdown Rams on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Facebook group. Come join us. Come talk with us. Thoughts, comments, concerns, everything's always welcome. We're going to be back tomorrow. Extended version of today. I'm hoping I can get Mark for a little bit of a time. If not, we'll fill in. Maybe I grab James Kroger. Maybe it's just another round of questions since I kind of got cut short today. But regardless, we will be back. But with that said, you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time, peace. Welcome to Atlanta where the players play. And we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming. And parties don't stop till 8 in the morning. Welcome to Atlanta where the players play. And we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming. Uh-huh. And parties don't stop till 8 in the morning. Now the party don't start till I walk in. And I usually don't.